This is Jay Sekulow as we continue the discussion on media bias against Israel. Why is it that the European Union refuses to list Hezbollah as a terrorist group?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
To step foot into Israel is to step foot into a nation that began with an ancient promise made in this land. The Jewish people persisted through one of the most monstrous crimes in human history. And now this nation has come to take its place among the most impressive democracies on earth.
Any agreement with the Palestinian people must preserve Israel's identity as a Jewish state with secure, recognized, defensible borders. And Jerusalem will remain the capital of Israel, and it must remain undivided.
I don't think the Iranian regime is impressed one little bit by frequent flyer miles from Washington to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel.
I guess they are, oh, there you go, the capital of Israel, according to the ambassador. That's been the hot topic recently over the political space.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Hi, I'm Shahar Peer, and I'm a tennis player. I'm representing Israel, and Jerusalem is the capital of Israel.
Hi, my name is Jonathan Ehrlich. I represent Israel relegation, who is the capital of Jerusalem.
Hi, my name is Andy Ram. I represent Israel, the Olympics, that the capital is Jerusalem. I'm very proud to be Israeli and represent my country.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. This is the last day that we're going to be paying real attention on the air to the situation with the media bias against Israel, specifically the BBC, and the situation at the Olympics. We're getting that letter off this weekend, so this will be the last day for you to participate. But we're also going to be focusing on the bias of the European Union against Israel, including the fact that the EU refuses to list Hezbollah, which we know is an arm of Iran, as a terrorist group. And this comes down to a fundamental issue of how we view our relation with Israel and how strategically important it is for the United States. We want you involved in this conversation, in this discussion. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're taking your calls on Israel, the Middle East, the political situation. We also want your views on where the how you view the candidates, President Obama, Governor Romney, and their positions on Israel. 1-800-684-3110 is the number to take your calls. But Jordan, increasingly now, Hezbollah, Hamas, the Muslim Brotherhood are all being looked at as political organizations when they're really terrorist groups.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you look at this situation out of the EU and this distinction, well, between Hezbollah gets elected in Lebanon, so we don't want to actually call them a terrorist group. And, of course, the United States has classified Hezbollah as a terrorist organization, as well as the UK and the Netherlands and Canada, because that is what they are. They are the suicide bombers. They have terror cells. We talk about what's happening in Latin America, in places like Venezuela, even in Mexico with the drug cartels. That is Hezbollah. It is run by Iran. They are loyal to the Ayatollah, the supreme leader of Iran. That is who funds them. That is who trains them. That is who created them. They are Shia terrorist organization who has rained terror on Israel, on Lebanese, and of course is very involved in Syria. Like Hamas, they are, you know, these are all organizations that relied heavily on the Assad regime because they were based for the most part in Damascus, Syria, as kind of their operating grounds. What Khartoum was in Sudan in the 1980s, Damascus became for terrorist organizations in the 1990s.
Well, it's a situation, you're absolutely right, where they're trying to put themselves within the political context when, in fact, these are terrorist groups that just happen to be using politics. And that's a fundamental distinction. Hey, folks, we're taking a break. We come back to your phone calls, but I want you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And sign your name to this letter going to the BBC and the Olympics, and it's going to go to the White House, saying, look, Israel can define Jerusalem as its capital. So go to ACLJ.org, or you can call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. This is the last day to sign that letter, standing up with Israel, standing up for Jerusalem, and letting the BBC know that we are supporting Israel. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the world is following the Olympic Games through the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation. But if you're relying on the BBC for your Olympic news, you're not getting the truth or the facts about Israel. The BBC's official Olympic website refuses to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It simply calls Jerusalem, quote, the seat of government, and refuses to acknowledge that Jerusalem is the capital. But the BBC lists East Jerusalem as, quote, the intended seat of government for Palestine, which is not even a recognized nation. This anti-Israel propaganda must not be permitted to go unanswered. Israel is our friend, our ally, and now we have a unique opportunity to show our support. Sign on to our letter going to the BBC and to the Olympic Organizing Committee to demand that the BBC put an end to this intentional, discriminatory, anti-Israel tactic. Call now, 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org. Now you can cut through the clutter, get the facts, the latest on the political landscape, as well as the legal and cultural issues that matter most to you and your family. ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Sekulow provides unique insights and a fresh perspective daily on The Jordan Sekulow Show.
This is such an important time for America, a national election, a Supreme Court decision on Obamacare, and so much more. In a world where the liberal media strives to distort reality and discredit conservatives just like you and me, you can rely on us to provide you with the facts, the truth.
With experience that spans the globe, Jordan Sekulow tackles the tough topics. And you can be part of the show. Send Jordan your questions right now via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Sekulow. The Jordan Sekulow Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio, as well as streaming live on ACLJ.org.
We are the Joshua
Welcome back to the broadcast. Hey, look, this is the last day we can get you to sign on to this letter that we've going to the BBC. You could go to aclj.org, which a lot of people have. You can sign it right online, or you can call us at 1-877-989-2255. By the way, 46,224 of you have signed up online with the people that have called in. We're really close to hitting our goal of 50,000, but I need to encourage you, go to aclj.org, sign this letter, or call us at 1-877-989-2255. We've got a lot of calls coming in. We're going to take phone calls. Jordan, let's go to the phones.
Yep, Ben calling from Kentucky, online for Ben. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Ben.
Yes, sir. First, I want to just tell you that this country appreciates the truth, political truths that you espouse day in and day out, and we're grateful for that.
Very good. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I just wondered if you felt that in the first election, or the last election, the Jewish people in this country were surprisingly supportive of Obama at the polls. And I wondered over the course of the last 3 years if you thought that will shift to this.
I think the Jewish vote, which has traditionally gone Democratic, although there's a lot of Jewish Republicans as well, and there's a large outreach from the Republican Party to the Jewish community. But I think because of the situation with Israel that you're going to see a situation where, in fact, the Jewish community may vote more for, and it may not be a majority, and I don't have polling data, but I think you could see a shift in voting in certain areas, including Florida, because Israel is such a big issue within the Jewish community, as it should be. So I think it could be in play. But when I say that, these are hard to predict. And Jordan, you've worked on presidential campaigns. You're really going, it's not simply the Jewish vote or the Hispanic vote. It's areas and pockets and precincts, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a place like New York versus Florida. Both have a Jewish vote that's significant and can be very significant in the election, especially in Florida. Different age group. When you say, it'd be kind of like saying Ben Christian vote, you wouldn't use that term inside a campaign because the word Christian applies to, 75%+ of Americans. And within that, you've got groups like evangelicals. You would look at a term like that. Catholics, you could look at something like that. And you'd even break it down further. This is how far campaigns would go, Ben. You would look at Catholics who attend church regularly, who attend Mass weekly, versus Catholics who kind of use that as an identifier and their kind of culture. Same goes with Judaism. Just like in Christianity, you've got people who are very religious, people who really just use the name as a cultural identifier and the title as an identifier. And so within those groups, just like in the Christian conservative world, you can actually usually match people who are attending church more regularly, attending synagogue more regularly, attending mass more regularly, are more likely to be conservative, and they are more likely to care about some of the issues that we talk about here. So again, that's how campaigns would break it down.
Exactly. 1-800-684-3110 is our number. Let me ask everybody out there a question. As you view the election right now, it's only, 90 days away, a little bit less. How do you view it, and how important do you think the Israel issue is, the political issues? We want to get your sense of that as well at 1-800-684-3110. So let's go to another phone call.
Yep, we'll go right to George calling from Arizona on line 3. George, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, George.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm a contributor and everything. And
great.
A supporter of you guys, and I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate the fact, of course, we love Israel, and it's the apple of God's eye, but I appreciate the fact that you're pointing out the different statements that Obama makes, and I think it's very important that we bring home the lie that he uses in that. And I think it's important that as the campaign starts putting together all of these rows and rows of lies, and we call it a lie, that Obama has used throughout his administration, because I really believe that when he lies, he's speaking his native language.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, we're going to just report the facts as they exist, and I'm going to play for you right now, because you called. Let me tell you what President Obama said when he was running for president of the United States. He was then Senator Obama. Take a listen to what he talks about when it comes to the capital of Jerusalem, number 17.
I continue to say that Jerusalem will be the capital of Israel. And I have said that before, and I will say it again.
Okay, well, that sounds very good. Now, listen to what his press secretary said. I'm going to play two for you. The first one is with Jay Carney, who didn't want to answer the question, number 7.
Is this administration considered to be the capital of Israel, Jerusalem or Tel Aviv?
I haven't had that question in a while. Our position has not changed, Connie.
Tel Aviv or Jerusalem?
Yes, you know the answer.
Could you just give us an answer? What do you recognize? What does you recognize?
Our position hasn't changed.
And later, a press secretary went on to state that, in fact, they disagreed with Governor Romney. Take a listen to this. Governor Romney said, of course, that Jerusalem should be the capital of Israel. Here's what he said.
Governor Romney declared flatly that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And I'm wondering, what does the White House, does that undermine the administration's position?
Well, our view is that that's a different position than this administration holds.
So there you have it. I mean, we're going to point out, George, the facts of the situation, and everybody makes up their own decision. All right, folks, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We want to get your opinion on how you see the campaigns shaping up, how you think the Middle East issue will play into it. What about the economic issue? Do you think that'll be the number one, which I suspect it's going to be? But I think Israel and the life position, all of those will be front and center issues as well. Jordan, let's get a sense now in Washington, because things are quieting down there. What's the expectation between now and the election on issues like the Middle East? Is it just going to be pretty quiet?
Yeah, I think it's what you're going to see in Washington. There's the wrapping up, of course, that happened this week. There's an August recess. A lot of candidates are going back into their districts. You'll have an opportunity, if you're listening now, to see a lot of your congressional, either the candidates, your actual representative. They'll be back because, of course, they've got their general election coming up in the House of Representatives. They're all up for re-election in the Senate. About half are. So the situation, people get very calculated here. You'll see legislative proposals. You'll see new discussions. But the truth is, this will be the decision point for everybody listening now. Do you want to go with conservatives, more conservatives in the House and the Senate? Do you want to change up the White House? And the discussion will be much more, I think, about broader ideas, the fundamentals of where we want to take our country. And that's what we're going to see. Barring in mind, anything could happen in this time period. But legislatively, as people know, it's been very tough. The House can pass something, the Senate can pass something, because the majorities are different there. But after that, trying to reconcile those and get much legislation through, other than the legislation that absolutely has to pass, like the budget, things like that, just to keep, not even an actual budget, but just to keep paying our bills, basically, for the United States government, that's about all that moves forward right now.
All right, folks, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. By the way, in the next segment of the broadcast, I'm going to be joined. I'm going to play for you an interview I had with Mark Regev. He is the principal spokesperson for the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. Who do we have next, Jordan?
Yep, back to the phones we go. Don calling in from Colorado, online 2. Don, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Don.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to say that I do appreciate the ministry that you guys do, and I'll try and be brief. I had two quick questions because I just got on the air the other day and heard this. So I hadn't had a chance to call. First question is the reason the BBC is supporting this so heavily and denying Jerusalem as the capital is because it's a mostly Muslim population there? And then second question, and I know it may sound political.
Well, let's do the first one, then we'll go to the, then we'll do the second one. There, a lot of people have called and suggesting that, and there is a large Muslim population in England. Do I think they're being politically correct? Absolutely. Do I think they have an animus against Israel? Yes, I do. So they've got both a natural built-in bias, and they've got a Muslim population that's quite large there and becoming more influential. Jordan, that's the way I see it. And then we'll let Don ask the second question. But, Jordan, you have any comment you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think it's more of the BBC ideology. I'm not sure the Muslim population there is really the driving factor with why the BBC does this. I think that they've got a history of really unfair coverage of Israel, unfair coverage of what's happened in the Middle East, unfair coverage of what life is like in Israel. I think that goes back even before the kind of surge in the Muslim population in Western Europe. But I do think, of course, that all has an influence. But I think the bigger influence has been this very negative attitude by news or outlets like the BBC towards Israel.
I think there's a lot to that. As I said, there's kind of a natural built-in animus. Well, quickly, Don, with your second question.
Okay, and I appreciate that because that's kind of the bias I had heard too, but I'd heard both sides of that. And the second question is not to disrespect Mr. Romney, but if Mr. Obama can chant one thing during his political, campaigning,
yep,
how are we to be trusted that Mr. Romney's not going to change his once he's in office as well? So how does a voter know?
That's a great question. Mitt Romney made the statement while he was standing in Jerusalem and in Israel. And I think that and President Obama has yet to visit Israel as president of the United States. So, you never know. But I have a very very positive feeling that the president meant what he said. Now that his position is that is subject to negotiation, the issue of Jerusalem, and I think that Governor Romney said what he said, and I believe it too, and that is he believes Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. The president's spokesperson said that that's subject to negotiation, so I think we should take their words for it at this point. Hey, folks, we'll take more of your calls when we come back. Again, as we go to a break, Jordan's going to give you the information. You need to sign on to that letter to the BBC. Today is it, folks.
Call now, 877-989-2255. Final day to add your name. We encourage you to call now. Pick up the phone, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also sign the letter at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
Now you can cut through the clutter, get the facts, the latest on the political landscape, as well as the legal and cultural issues that matter most to you and your family. ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Sekulow provides unique insights and a fresh perspective daily on The Jordan Sekulow Show.
This is such an important time for America, a national election, a Supreme Court decision on Obamacare, and so much more. In a world where the liberal media strives to distort reality and discredit conservatives just like you and me, you can rely on us to provide you with the facts, the truth.
With experience that spans the globe, Jordan Sekulow tackles the tough topics. And you can be part of the show. Send Jordan your questions right now via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Sekulow. The Jordan Sekulow Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio, as well as streaming live on ACLJ.org. Most of the world is following the Olympic Games through the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation. But if you're relying on the BBC for your Olympic news, you're not getting the truth or the facts about Israel. The BBC's official Olympic website refuses to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It simply calls Jerusalem, quote, the seat of government, and refuses to acknowledge that Jerusalem is the capital. But the BBC lists East Jerusalem as, quote, the intended seat of government for Palestine, which is not even been a recognized nation. This anti-Israel propaganda must not be permitted to go unanswered. Israel is our friend, our ally, and now we have a unique opportunity to show our support. Sign on to our letter going to the BBC and to the Olympic Organizing Committee to demand that the BBC put an end to this intentional, discriminatory, anti-Israel tactic. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. Or online, aclj.org.
Well, joining us right now is Mark Regev. Mark is the spokesperson for the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, and an advisor on foreign press and public affairs for the State of Israel, in a position he's held for quite a number of years. Mark, thanks for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. It's a beautiful day here in Jerusalem.
Well, that's great. Let me ask you this. There's a lot going on and a lot of discussions on Iran and the issues with Iran. Let me get your take on it first, of the significance of the threat from the Israeli perspective of the regime in Iran right now.
We think that there's no greater threat to my country, to Israel, but there's no greater threat to the region and to the world, to world peace. I mean, ultimately, the biggest challenge facing humanity is the link-up between radical extreme Islam and the weapons of mass destruction. And if you see that Ayatollah regime in Tehran get their finger on a nuclear trigger, how can anyone know what the world will be like the day after?
Let me follow that up, because that is obviously an issue that has us concerned. You've got the uprising in Egypt. You've got the Arab Spring that has developed. You've got, it looks like, the Muslim Brotherhood coming into power in Egypt. How is this? What's the Israeli reaction to the Arab Spring right now? And you've got situations now, of course, in Syria. It's a pretty tense time in the region. What's your sense?
We have no trouble with democracy in the Arab world. If Arab states move in a more democratic path, that's good for them, and it's good for us, because it means we'll have democratic neighbors who maybe will want to live together with us in peace and reconciliation. Unfortunately, however, we've seen in many places across the region, the people achieving political power, the people arising out of the turmoil, are not necessarily committed to democratic values. But we remain open for peace with our neighbors. We extend our hands to talk to the leadership in these countries where there is new government after revolutions. We hope it's possible to walk with them in the path of peace. We don't know that they'll want to walk with us.
And that was, which is, of course, the great question here as this is continuing to develop. But back on Iran for a moment. Some have described what's going on in Lebanon, what goes on with, unfortunately, down in Gaza, as a proxy war for Iran. Is that still pretty much the position of the government?
That's not just the position of government. That's the truth. You have a situation where Iran has helped build inside Lebanon a state within a state, where you have the Hezbollah organization has its hands on some 40,000 rockets that are aimed at my country. They have more weapons than many countries members of the United Nations. In Gaza, you have Hamas control, and they've got some 10,000 rockets aimed at my country. Both of these groups are Iranian government proxies. While this is happening, you've got the terrible situation in Syria, where Iran is on the ground in Syria assisting the autocratic government there to massacre the people of Syria. So Iran is causing problems in Lebanon, in Syria, in Gaza. Iran is causing problems in Afghanistan, in Iraq. Iran is causing problems across the globe, sponsoring terrorist attacks in Thailand, in Kenya, in India, in Georgia. And they're doing all this without a nuclear weapon. Let's just take a deep breath and think, if they're doing all this without a nuclear weapon, what would they do if they had a nuclear weapon?
It's a frightening thought, to say the least. Mark Regev is the spokesperson for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, an advisor on foreign press and public affairs, an expert in the area, and thanks for taking time out to be with us on the broadcast today.
My pleasure, and I wish you all well.
Thank you. Well, there you have it. We always want to give you the story of what's going on here and the kind of situation that we're dealing with. And this is significant. And I want to tell everybody this. We're going to fight back and fight for Israel, but you come into that equation. We are just shy of 50,000 signatures, folks. And if you will go to aclj.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255 and add your name to the letter, we're going to be at 50,000 signatures when that letter goes out this weekend. So 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org, and we're going to go right back to our phones.
Yep, back to the phones we go. Moses calling from South Dakota on line three. Moses, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I appreciate what you are saying. I think God gave Israel the land, and Jerusalem should be the head. First of all, my name is Moses. I grew up in Israel. I'm a Palestinian Christian living in the United States. But also God said, if my people will come back to me, then I'll forgive them. And I don't think the Israeli right now under God's will. And also the Israeli should treat also the Arab that live in Israel with decency and respect.
Well, I think all human beings are entitled to decency and respect. And I think if you were to ask Arabs living in Israel whether they'd rather be under the Israeli governmental structure or under Hamas, Hezbollah, or even the Palestinian Authority, you know what the answer is going to be, Moses. And that is, the answer is going to be they're better off with Israel. There's more religious freedom for Christians. And we know this firsthand because we do a lot of work in the Middle East. We have an office in Jerusalem. And we represent Christians there, and Arab Christians. So I understand what you're saying. But understand also that they have, in fact, given more religious freedom to Christians in the Middle East than any other country. It's not even close. Jordan, you've been heavily involved in this area. You're handling a lot of Christian persecution cases. You don't get those in Israel.
No, it's the only country or territory in the Middle East that has religious freedom guaranteed as a right you can go to court with, as a right for its citizens. And so people can be religious, not religious, Jewish, Christian, Muslim, and everything else in between. And this is the only country that really does respect that. Of course, there are situations in the Palestinian territory where the Palestinian Authority barely has full control over what's happened in the West Bank. In Gaza, you have Hamas, which has no respect whatsoever for a Christian community, which has dwindled down to maybe 1,000 people or so left in the entire Gaza Strip that was once a very active Christian community there. In the West Bank, things are a bit better, but as Moses knows, and anyone who has visited and knows the discussions, especially privately, people are always concerned that there's a tipping point that could happen at any moment in time where things fall apart there and radicals take back over in the West Bank as well.
And I think that's the reality. So I appreciate your call, and we understand we're working with Christians in the Middle East as well and making sure the religious freedom is protected, and we've not had problems on that front. And we're actually thrilled to be able to help Christians that are really being persecuted in some of the predominantly Muslim, many of the predominantly Muslim countries. Let's try to grab one more call very quickly, Jordan, then we're going to be calling it a day.
Yep, Randy calling from California online too. Randy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks, Jay. I'm a supporter of ACLJ.
Yep.
And you know, Jay, I think it's very important that people not forget that Obama flew his entire cabinet around the world to visit the three largest mosques, and after that, the Arab Spring took place.
Right.
Do you see that as significant?
Oh, sure. I think the president's policy. Again, you vote for whoever you want to vote for, but the president's policy on the Middle East and this idea that this Arab Spring was going to, generate this democracy movement within the Middle East has been an absolute failure. We've got dictatorial regimes now controlling governments. Not that the previous leaders of those governments were great, but now you got the Muslim Brotherhood running them. That's the real problem here. That's the real danger. So I think it's a failed policy, a policy that's not worked. Folks, that's going to do it for this broadcast today. Stay on the line. Stay on the air. Jordan will be doing his broadcast right after this. And folks, this is the last day for you to sign up for this letter today and tomorrow through the weekend. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. And by the way, go to the Jay Sekulow Facebook page. If you're not there, you should already be there because we're going to be putting up a little video, a little music video that came out of what we were doing with Ricky Skaggs the other day. He picked up a guitar, so did I. His wife Sharon sang, and we're going to put a little bit of that on Facebook. So 1-877-989-2255 to sign the letter or ACLJ.org and get us on Facebook, folks. We'll talk to you next time.
If you've previously listened to the full hour of Jay's broadcast, now beginning at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, you can listen to the new Jordan Seculo Show. Jordan Seculo provides insightful analysis and interviews with top newsmakers, live from Washington, D.C. The Jordan Seculo Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 Eastern. Find out how you can listen to the show online at www.jordanseculo.com. And if you're interested in carrying this new program on your station or network, contact the Jordan Seculo Show via email, info@seculo.com.